Good morning and welcome to Burlington East Presbyterian Church. I'm Jerry Fairbridge, the duty elder. If you're a visitor, please sign the guest book at the entrance and please join us for fellowship after the service. Please read the announcements in the bulletin. In addition to those, the scouts, I am led to believe, are bringing the maple syrup orders in the next week or so. Volunteers are needed for Good Friday. And also, you'll notice in the bulletin, we forgot to put in the times of the Good Friday and Easter Sunday services. They're 10:30 as usual. Please take a moment to prepare for service. Now, if you'll read with me the responsive call to worship, which you'll find in the bulletin insert. During this holy week, let us repair the breach and rebuild the earth's resources. We're called to repair the breach, to never take for granted the gifts of the Lord. And now hymn number 299.
Please be seated. This is the beginning of Holy Week, and just while I remember, and I did not remind Jerry to point this out in a bulletin, during Holy Week we have several services. Certainly we know about Good Friday, but we also have a service of Maundy Thursday on Thursday evening. It will be a joint service with Brant Hills Presbyterian Church, and I encourage you to come to that. It's always a very quiet and spiritually uplifting service, a time where we consider the night of Jesus' betrayal, the night that he spent a quiet moment with the disciples, and we have communion service during that time as well. So I know there's lots of services this particular week, but this is High Holy Week in that respect. we consider the end of our 40-day journey in Lent. And specifically this morning, this is our time we come with our prayer of adoration, our prayer of confession, followed by the Lord's Prayer. And it's a time for us to be considering this journey that we've been on for the last 40 days. Let us confess our sin to God, trusting that God's steadfast love, we're going to hear this phrase a lot this morning, God's steadfast love endures forever. Let's bow our heads. Gracious God, as we enter this holy week, strengthen us to move beyond the festival of the Parade of Palms that we're talking about this morning in particular, and to follow Jesus all the way into the way of the cross. Like, try that as much as possible, Lord, to help us to be united with him moment by moment. Help us to reflect, and as we have been through this Lenten time, what it is in the moment to be walking with Jesus, especially during this week. God of heaven and earth, we give you thanks for sending Jesus in your name. And even though there are times that we profess to follow him, there are also times that we confess, or at times of trial rather, that we deny him. We ask that you will forgive us, Lord, and heal us from this. It's easy to say, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus. But when things get difficult for us at times, and that difficulty is not always easy to see, we rely on ourselves instead of relying on you. And it's difficult, Lord, sometimes to see that. And that's part of the point of Lent, is for us to be stopping and seeing that we really need you in our lives, through the good and the bad and the sad. Heal us, Lord. Continue to forgive us as we confess our moments when we are not looking to you. And now we gather together and pray the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. It is the Lord who helps us, who will declare us guilty. Because of the grace that we have received in our baptism, we have nothing to fear. Forgiven and freed, we share the peace of Christ, now and always. Amen.
Oh, have mercy on me, pray now.
Thank you, choir. Wow. Pull one out of your back pocket there. That's wonderful. Thank you so much. That was really for today. This is lovely. We're going to be talking about Hosanna quite a bit as we get going, and remember what that means as we get into that. We'll join now together in our children's hymn, Praise Him, Praise Him, number 372. And during the third verse, while the children come forward for a time together, let's stand and sing Praise Him, Praise Him, 372. Please be seated. Morning, boys and girls. What's today? Let's try these folks. Sunday's good. That's a good answer. What's today? Palm Sunday. It's Palm Sunday. That's what's behind you here. So these palm leaves, and you're going to be helping give them out later in the service today. And I wanted to explain a little bit about Palm Sunday. Jesus is, in this particular day that we remember as Palm Sunday, Jesus is going to come into the city of Jerusalem, and he's going to come in like a king. And they're all excited. And the reason we have palm leaves is because when he came in riding on a small colt, baby horse basically, they took out palm leaves just like this, and they waved them like a parade was going on. Some people think they took their coats off and threw them down on the ground so they'd have a pathway to ride along. They got ready for a visitor, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about. What do you do at your house when a visitor's coming? Yeah, I got lots of hands here. All right, go ahead. Yeah, you don't do anything. What do you do? You tidy up. You get out these, at least I do, and you get out this, and you get out this, and you get out this. And you get ready for your guests. In fact, I know people that do this when they're getting ready for the cleaning lady to come. They clean up for the lady that's coming to clean up. Because nobody wants to see my house like it is. Nobody wants to see my... No. You see my office. I'll give you that. No, Renata's shaking her head. Boys and girls, when somebody special is coming to see us, or we're going to see someone special, we get ready for them. Something special, and certainly cleaning up is one of the things that we do. But we remember and celebrate the fact that they're coming to visit us. And Jesus came to visit in the city of Jerusalem, and the people took the palm leaves, and they waved them, and they put their cloaks down, as I said, to make a path for him. they celebrated that the King had arrived in their midst. And that's what today is all about, Palm Sunday. The King has come, and he's come through the great golden gate. And it really is called that, the gate that he rode through on the city of Jerusalem. I want you to remember that, that it's time to celebrate, even though it's been Lent, and I've been asking you to think about things that you can do. Today's the day when we can celebrate. And when Jesus came in, the people said, Hosanna, loud Hosanna. And the word Hosanna means save us, help us. And Jesus does that just for us. So let's bow our heads and thank him for that today. Gracious God, we thank you that we can shout Hosanna, loud Hosanna, that you are riding into our midst, that we prepared a way for you these last almost 40 days of Lent. We've been cleaning up our act, so to speak, preparing a way for you to come into our lives. Bless these boys and girls today, Lord, as they prepare to go off to Sunday school. Bless the teachers that are helping them today, that they can learn of you, that seed of faith can be planted in their hearts and grow. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks, boys and girls. We'll see you later. You come out to help us later on. We'll join in our last last verse of our hymn, and we'll remain seated as we do. Thank you. We're going to prepare to hear God's Word read this morning. And as we do, I'd ask that we just take a moment to invite the Holy Spirit to speak in our midst, to open our hearts and minds accordingly. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Eternal God, quiet within us all the voices that are speaking to us right now. The busy times that we've had this morning, busy times we may have planned for this afternoon. This is the story of the Passion. This is the week in which the history of the world changes. By the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to have that same mind that was in Christ Jesus as we hear your word read this morning. We pray this in his name. Amen. We're reading from our responsive reading today, found in the Psalters in your pews. These Psalters is Psalm 118. We're reading verses 1 and 2, and then 19 to 29. This psalm is an exuberant call to praise God. It sometimes is described as an anthology of thanksgiving because it contains all kinds of allusions to and quotes from other psalms and hymns. For instance, verse 1 is found in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And verses 8 and 9 can be found in Psalm 146. So this is a psalm of victory in some ways. It is a song announcing a king. And it's a perfect psalm to be reading today on Palm Sunday as our king enters the city of Jerusalem. Psalm 118, Jerry.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say,
God's steadfast love endures forever.
Verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them, and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord. Righteous shall enter through it.
I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. This is the Lord's doing.
It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we beseech you, O Lord. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you.
You are my God, and I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good, for God's steadfast love endures forever.
Thank you, Jerry. You may have noticed that in this psalm alone several times that phrase, steadfast love, that is the, we've talked about this in the past, that is the Hebrew word hesed. I gave you a handout a couple of years ago to put on your fridges. Some of you may still have them there, I don't know. But it's steadfast love. And God loves, that steadfast love does truly endure forever. Our Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 to 9. In a hostile world, the path for a faithful disciple can be perilous and lonely. And that's what this particular reading from Isaiah is portraying for us in so many ways. The reading is, this portion hopefully adds to some important insights to us and our Christian understanding of Jesus' difficult journey this particular week, from this Sunday until this coming Friday. By listening to the Word of God morning by morning, the writer here, Isaiah, heeds a message that leads into dire straits. But even with this life that's going on, there's an assurance that God is in control. There is a confidence in God's plan. Isaiah 50, beginning at verse 4. The Lord has given me a tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen to those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insulting and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Our New Testament reading is taken from Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. This verse is often described as a hymn because there's a rhythmic structure to it, and it's kind of, Paul may have known this hymn and used it as to a reference for the Christians that he was writing to. It's interesting sort of background to this, that the opening line is a bit ambiguous because the NRSV, which we're reading from, there is no verb for in this phrase. The first line in Greek would be translated more, let the same mind be in you in Christ Jesus. And they've added the words or the verb that was. The idea here is that there is just no difference to these folks potentially between themselves and being and having the mind of Christ. It's a reminder to all of us to take on his mind, take on his way of thinking, especially during this Holy Week. Philippians 2, beginning at verse 5. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. And our gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 28. And this is Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, as I've suggested during the children's time. Jesus' disciples acclaim him king and celebrate his entrance into the city. that in their tradition was the point of contact between heaven and earth. And we'll read some of the Pharisees were not too happy about all the noise that was being made, and they try to tell them to be quiet. And that's where Jesus winds up this particular reading with the stones will cry out. Luke 19, begin at verse 28. After he said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And when he came near Bethphage and Bethany at the place called the Mount of Olives, Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, just say this, the Lord needs it. So those who were sent departed and found it as he told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, why are you untying the colt? And they said, the Lord needs it. Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road. As he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory on highest heaven. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, teacher, order your disciples to stop. He answered, I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out. This is the word of God. Join together now in our next hymn, A New Commandment, number 225. Well, as I said several times, today is Palm Sunday, and it's the first day of Holy Week, leading us all the way up to Good Friday in Easter. During coffee with the minister this week, I was asked why I haven't told any little funny stories as a part of the introduction that I often do in my sermons. Well, I answered that I'd left it out as part of Lent. That was one of the things I gave up for Lent, and it was an attempt to sort of give us the more of a serious kind of tone as we move through this 40-day journey and maybe give it a little more significance. It's also why we haven't been lighting the candles or lighting the cross during this time. But today is Hosanna Day, and Hosanna means save us, and it's Palm Sunday. So in light of that, I do have a story. I have just a quick one I'm going to share with you and hope after this great long intro that it's still funny. It's one I've shared before. It was Palm Sunday a few years ago, but because of a sore throat, and I'm feeling that a little today too, 5-year-old Johnny stayed home from church with a sitter. When the family returned home, they were carrying several palm fronds, and Johnny asked what they were for. Held them over Jesus' head as he walked by, his father told him. Wouldn't you know it, Johnny said, the one Sunday I don't go and he shows up. All right, we've chuckled. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day, the day of Palm Sunday, the day beginning this whole journey this particular week, but also concluding our 40 days. Be in the words that I speak, Lord. Meditation of my heart, let it be acceptable before you and your people. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we Most of us, I would say probably all of us here, know very well the events of that first Palm Sunday, Jesus' ride into Jerusalem on the donkey or the colt, depending which gospel you're reading, how the crowds honored him, how they took palm branches and went out to meet him, how they laid their cloaks on the road to honor him, and they shouted, Hosanna, which, as I said, means save us, or please save us, Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And we all know very well that Jesus does this to fulfill a prophecy in Isaiah, or Zechariah, pardon me. And Zechariah 9:9 says, see, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey. Jesus is the king who came to save. And again, we all know how Jesus is going to accomplish that. He came to Jerusalem not just to celebrate, but we know he came to die, and to die for all sinners, as we put that sort of phrase on it. And that includes you and me both. He came to carry our sins, our misdeeds, our stepping away from God's call in our lives to the cross. He came to place under God's wrath, take our place rather under God's wrath and punishment. He came to suffer our God-forsakenness instead of us and satisfy that divine justice for all of us. He came to save us. That's what Hosanna is all about. But the question we have today is, how do we respond to this in a proper way? And as we think about that question, responding in that proper way, responding in that God way, we need to ponder the words that Jesus speaks at the end of this text, and it's certainly around the title of this sermon. I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out, the stones would shout out. What is Jesus talking about here specifically, and how does this relate to our response? Well, there are some that think Jesus was talking about the destruction of Jerusalem that was coming. In other words, when the people of Jerusalem stopped praising him, not one stone would be left on another. And in this way, the stones would cry out in judgment against their unbelief in Jesus' message and his life. Now, there's really nothing unbiblical about that particular explanation. From the Bible, we know that Jerusalem truly did reject the gospel of Jesus, the good news of Jesus, and went on beyond that, persecuting the apostles. And from history, we know that Jerusalem was indeed destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. The temple was taken down completely. And as I mentioned a week ago, at least, that was Rome's way of erasing something. And they tried to erase the Jewish religion. But might there be a better explanation about these words? Well, consider the immediate context. The people have been praising Jesus, honoring him, and glorifying him. And those are the kinds of words that have been shouted out and cried out. So when Jesus talks about the stones crying out, he might mean the same kinds of words. That is, if the people don't praise him, the stones on the ground certainly will. For Jesus is going to be praised in this entry through the golden gate. Well, let's think about that for a minute. To whom did Jesus speak these words about the stones crying out? Who was he speaking to? He spoke them to the Pharisees. And what kind of people would the Pharisees consider to be stones? So he wasn't saying the Pharisees were. He was saying something to the Pharisees. Maybe we should think how these Pharisees looked down on people like tax collectors and prostitutes and other so-called bad sinners among their fellow Jews. They'd probably count them as stones. Even more so, think about how the Pharisees felt about the non-Jews, the Gentiles, in the droves that had probably gathered in Jerusalem for this, the Passover festival, selling things to the Jewish community. It was a time of partying and having a festival and celebrating and food. They were outside of God's people. They were as spiritually dead as stones. So Jesus maybe is making it clear to these Pharisees that if they refuse to praise him as the Savior King, others, whom the Pharisees themselves consider stone dead, might become living stones, crying out and shouting the Savior's praise. You know, if you think about it, this is very similar to the language that John the Baptist used when he confronted the Pharisees himself. Do not think that you can save yourselves. We have Abraham as our father, they said. I tell you, out of these stones, God can raise children for Abraham. It's conversation that takes place in Matthew chapter 3. And isn't that what the Lord has done for us? He took us outside of the Abrahamic covenant. We were Gentiles. That's what Gentile means. He took us who were living outside the covenant. We were dead, in theory, in sin. Stone dead. In our baptism and in our step forward in claiming our faith, He made us alive, spiritually alive. Through the prophet Ezekiel, the Lord says this, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36. A living, beating heart that's spiritually alive. Through baptism, through our claiming our faith in Christ, we are reborn into God's family and have become one of His people. We're grafted directly into the line. We are now part of that new covenant through Christ. The Apostle Peter writes this, You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a royal priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. 1 Peter 2. So maybe we can hear Jesus' words about stones crying out and see ourselves as one of those stones. He rode into Jerusalem to make us all alive before God. And that's why He went to the cross. That's why He suffered and died. That's why He rose again from the dead on Easter to make stones like what you and I were once, now alive, spiritually alive. One of the things for us to be considering, I believe, as well, through this particular time, this week. We're reading here about Jesus riding into Jerusalem. We're reading about people praising Him and singing out and throwing their cloaks down, about becoming living stones. 6 days is all it is. 5 days. 6 days to Friday, but 5 days in total. It transitions very much. The people will not be silenced as Jesus rides in. And as we read beyond the section that we read today, Jesus went out to speak to them. And it says in Scripture, they hung on His very words. The Pharisees couldn't shut them up, couldn't make them disperse. They hung on every word that Jesus had to say. And on Friday, they hung Him. Something happened in these 5 days. Something changed from Hosanna, save us, to crucify Him, crucify Him. One of the responses I want to challenge all of us with, myself included, is pick up from Luke chapter 19 and read the next 5 or 6 chapters this week. I want you to get into the very moments. We already know the end of the story. We've heard it countless times. But this week, read it day by day by day. It's outlined that way in Luke and Matthew. We can know what happened on the Sunday. We can know what happened on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night. It changes dramatically. And if we live it that way and read it that way and experience it in the moment, I believe that we're going to see how we can possibly respond, how the disciples felt. If we respond like the Pharisees and remain quiet, refusing to praise Jesus, we will become dead stones again, and that's metaphorically speaking. Jesus will take His gospel away and just pass it on to others potentially. Jesus is going to be praised, if not by us, then by others. So what's our response? How do we shout out as we consider this journey and transition? How do we shout out as living stones? A few verses after the Apostle Paul called us living stones, he writes, You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. That's Peter, pardon me. And that's what we are. We see people doing this on Sunday morning, or this Palm Sunday morning, isn't it? We are people called out of darkness. Listen to their words again recorded in Luke. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. How can we respond as we consider day by day this journey? How can we respond to Jesus today, Palm Sunday, with a shout out of praise? You see, praise is much more than singing a few songs on Sunday morning. It's more than an act in itself. It's the way we live our lives. It's the way we live our lives. It's easy for us to be excited in the moment, but when life comes along sometimes, it's not as easy. Events take place in our lives that cause us to struggle, and suddenly the praising stops. And really, in some ways, we might as well be a stone. We're silent. We struggle with those moments. How can we live our lives to shout out that Jesus is our King? That's the consideration through this week. That's the consideration in that bigger picture through Lent in particular. We want Jesus to be part of everything we do, every decision we make, but we don't always do that. We want the good times on Sunday morning or the Palm Sundays. We want to avoid Thursday night. There's so much to be taught and learned through the Holy Week itself. Every day has something unique to challenge us with. So when we're faced with choices in life, we ask ourselves, which choices clearly show that Jesus is more important to me than anyone or anything else? Because Jesus made a decision to walk to the cross, knowing what was coming. And there's little tip-offs, and we're going to talk about that as we do our Monday-Thursday service and our Friday morning service. Thursday night, one of the things that Jesus does is he washes the disciples' feet. He does that because he knows their dark time is coming. Their alone time is coming, and he wants them to remember that he loved them so much that he would do something a servant would do. He made a decision to express love even though he knew what was coming the next day. We need to make the same kinds of decisions in our lives. In Luke 19, the people shouted, "Peace in heaven." What good news. We were once ourselves outside of the covenant, enemies to God. We've been brought into the new covenant through Christ. He has given us this freely, given us his righteousness. We have peace in and through Christ. So extending that thought of how can I make decisions that reflect Jesus as the most important thing in my life, how can we reflect that same peace that Jesus brings? Also, as you read in Luke 19, just beyond verse 40, Jesus tells the people, wow, what cost it's going to bring peace into this world. He knew what was coming. His life was going to be the cost to bring peace into this world. And since we now experience and are a part of that peace, we need to be making decisions that can reflect that in the decisions that we make in our daily lives. The last thing the people shouted in this quote from Luke 19 is glory in the highest, because all glory belongs to God. All glory belongs to God. That gift of new life, that gift of endless love is freely given. It's given by God. All glory goes to Him. All we do in that sense in our lives is live for Him. Glory to God. We can shout with the stones. That's our theme today. Jesus came to Jerusalem to be praised, and he's going to be praised this day, but he came ultimately that he might die and conquer death. Folks, I can't emphasize anymore, and I've been saying this, I know, for weeks. I've been saying it for years. I've been saying it most of my Christian journey. The one thing that differentiates us from every other religion is this week. Jesus didn't just get hung on a cross and died. He would have been a martyr. Christmas time, we don't celebrate Christ's birth simply because the founder of our religion had a birthday. Lots of founders of religions and political institutions have birthdays, and people celebrate those. Jesus came to die and conquer death. He rose from the dead. That's the fundamental difference between us and all other religions. The fundamental that should separate us in that sense from all other philosophies on life. If Jesus didn't die, we're just another religion in a long line of religions. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, we wouldn't be a religion at all, really. Jesus rose from the dead. We know that's coming on Sunday. And today we shout for praise as he enters the gate. Please, this week, read Luke 19 and to the end. Spend each day considering what's happening in the life of Jesus. Today, glorious day as he enters the city. Thursday, not so much. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. God has given us his only child, Jesus Christ, as the way of our salvation. Let us then give generously as God has given to us. Let us present our tithes and offerings before God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you give us from day to day. Take these offerings, Lord. Bless them that they may bring about your kingdom in this world and this community in particular. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. The flowers that we have in the sanctuary today have been placed by Ann David in memory of absent friends, and we have many of those in our midst. We can want to remember Beryl Gorey as she continues to heal and mend. She's at home, but has still got a long journey ahead of her. And we also remember Carolyn Skrivonik, who had a heart attack this week. And I know some of you know about that, but not everybody does. So I'm passing that along. And Carolyn's just recovering from hip surgery, and her husband's been ill with some cancer and is recovering well from that. Their daughter came to live with them and fell and broke her foot recently as well to help them out. So they've really had a handful. So we want to keep Carolyn in mind. She was in Hamilton General. She's now in Joe Brandt, but as far as I know, she's still in isolation or CCU while she just recovers. They did some surgery, and she's doing better, but she will be a while in mending. So we want to keep her in our prayers. That's Carolyn Skrivonik. I know you all have people in your lives that have needs, and I thank you that each week we've been saying those names out loud. I say this a lot, I'm sorry, but I go away from this prayer time in particular feeling so blessed and so touched by the names that are offered up by everybody, because I know there are people in need in your lives, and there's so many. And this is a faithful step on our behalf to take that moment and just say these names out loud or think them in your mind. God hears them all. So we'll have an opportunity to do that. We're praying for others in our lives and around the world. Let's do that and bow our heads now. Lord, you are God in the highest, and you truly came to us as a human being to change history, to change what happened in the very beginning and make it different. The stone that the builders rejected truly has become the chief cornerstone, and that's what we remember and celebrate as well today and through this week. Lord, we thank you that we have relationships in our lives, because the relationships that we have, whether they're friends or family or acquaintances or however we want to define that, they're gifts from you. They define who we are. They define who our relationships are on the other side of it. Everybody in this room knows somebody in their life that truly is in need. Whether, you know, they're sick or they're just not going so well or things are going well. Some of these names could be a thank you to offer that name up. But we do remember Burl Gorey and Carolyn Skrivonik in particular today. They've had some health issues, and there are many in our congregation that have health issues. Some are here today with those. And so, Lord, move on our hearts. As it says in Scriptures, Holy Spirit, tell us what to say today. In other words, inform us that maybe there's a name we hadn't been thinking of, and you're going to pop that into our head for today just to offer that now. And so we take a time, Lord, and we offer names up to you, silently or out loud, as moved. Holy Spirit, we thank you that when you move through us, you inform us as to what we need to say and what we need to be thinking about. These names that have been offered up, Lord, have been offered in faith. Faith that you will intervene. Faith that you will heal. Faith that you will have compassion on all of these names, people that they represent. Every name that has been said out loud or quietly today is not just unto themselves. Because we are in relationship with one another and with you, the circle gets very large very quickly. One person's struggle affects so many others within their life. So that prayer for that person, that individual, is not just for them. It's for all that are in their lives as well. It's a powerful request, Lord. But you tell us to do this. You tell us to come before you and offer these names and prayers up, these requests. Heal these people, Lord. Intervene in their lives. And I thank you for the step of faith that's been taken this morning by everybody in this room to do this. We're trusting in that Savior, Jesus. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. We go out today with our final hymn this morning with the Lord as my guide. And we're going to live our lives this week with the Lord guiding us from day to day until we meet next week and celebrate something very special. Number 574, with the Lord as my guide. as we live in the moment this week, before this week ends, these palm branches will be drying on the roadside. The joyful crowd will become an angry mob, and Jesus will replace the robes of victory with a crown of thorns. So then we can go now in the knowledge that whatever comes to us this week, we are held in the hand of God, just as Christ was, hugged tight, held close. And may God, the three in one, bless you, uphold you, and give you strength for the journey ahead this week. And now may you know the love of Christ, the mercy of the Father, and the fire of the Spirit as you go with the one God who loves us all. Amen.